You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, last week I taught on, actually I was teaching on principles, and a couple weeks ago started talking about principles, and then last week we talked about working the principles, that life is full of principles, that principles rule. You say, well, God rules. Yes, He does. He rules. God rules through principles. In other words, God made the principles, and God made the laws as they are, spiritual laws, and, you know, laws of giving and receiving, and, you know, you get out of life what you put in life. And you can't violate those laws. They work for you or against you. They work whether you're cooperating or whether you're not cooperating. And, you know, if gravity is something that just works. You step off a roof, you hit ground. That's called gravity. Now, the sooner you understand gravity and begin to work with that principle, the better your life's going to be. Amen. Stop stepping off the roof, you know, and use it to your advantage. Well, there's laws of giving. There's laws of confession. There's laws of love and forgiveness and all these things. And they rule, and you can't violate them. You can't change them. They rule. You might think you determine your destiny. You do choose your destiny, but your destiny is determined by the principles that you work. You can't choose to have a good outcome and live sinful because the principle of sinning brings a result of destruction and failure. The principle of unforgiveness and bitterness, you set a law in motion when you start down that road and you cannot change it. You may want to go to Dallas real bad. You may really, really, really want to. You may be passionate about wanting to go to Dallas, but you cannot head east from here in Wills Point and go to Dallas. No matter how hard you go east and how fast you go east and how much passion you put in, how sincere and how dedicated you are to going east, Dallas is the other direction. Hello. So that principle, you can't violate it. There are certain things you have to do to get to Dallas. Certain things you have to do to have a good marriage. There are certain things you have to do to have a good life. There are certain things you have to do to be saved. You have to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so, you know, all of life is that way. I don't know why we think it would be any different with God. He's actually the one that made everything. Amen? Farmers understand it. I mean, they don't plant watermelons and hope they get corn. Oh, man, I'm praying for corn. Yeah, but you planted watermelons. The principle went into effect the moment you planted the seed. And watermelons is coming. Amen? So we talked about that and how Paul in 2 Timothy, don't turn there, that's what we talked about last week, how he used the analogy of soldiers and athletes and farmers. And I love that because when you start working the principles, is what we got into last week, then you begin to see that, you know, we overestimate the event and we underestimate the process. If you're a farmer, everybody loves to be there on harvest day. Remember the little red hen. But what we don't always understand is there was a lot of time planting and plowing and you know, fertilizing and weeding and watering, and then harvest comes and everybody gets excited and they think that's wonderful, but you got to plow and plant if you're going to pick the produce. And he used the analogy of athletes, and we talked about athletes. We all cheer when they cross the line and when they win a game. We cheer and we get excited and we come off the couch or whatever. And if we're there, you know, watching them, the marathon runner run the race and cut the ribbon and woo, man, everybody goes wild. And, you know, and they get the trophies and they get the, you know, the gold medals and everything. And we listen to those speeches. We think it's just awesome. But, you know, there were just months, sometimes years of that person running when nobody was looking. There was no finish line. There were no medals. And it was raining and it was cold and the wind was blowing, but they kept running. They fulfilled a process. They started a principle they worked with that brought that event into play. And we often forget that. And so with soldiers and athletes and farmers, it's the same thing. Soldiers, we just heard about Zach graduating from boot camp. Well, you got to go through boot camp before you go to battle. And a lot of training. You won't just throw a guy out there without any training. And so everybody wants success, and we should. We should pursue success. God wants us to be the best we can be. He wants us to be good Christians, are you with me, and you know, compassionate. He wants us to have good marriages. He wants us to be healthy and all these things. But see, there are principles that bring that to pass, that we need to work. And we need to work them when we don't feel like it, and we need to work them when we do feel like it. You know, I always heard it this way, that when you're on top of the world, I mean, you're spiritually speaking, here we are talking about God and church and so on. When you're on top of the world, make your plans. When the peace of God's on you, the strength of God's on you, and you're serving God, make your plans. And when you get up Monday morning and you don't feel like you're on top of the world, work the plan. Yeah. Are you with me? I think most of our life is just working the plan. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. But if we'll work the plan, the plan's right, the plan's good, the plan's God's word. It's what He says. We've formulated our life and patterned it after what He says. Now, when I don't feel like it, I still do it because I know it works and I know it's right and I've got faith in God. I have faith in His plan. I have faith in what He says. And if I will keep doing this, hallelujah, I'll get a good result. It may not look like it today. It may not look like it tomorrow. But one day, it's coming. It's coming because the plan works. God's word works. It pays to serve God. It pays to love. It pays to pray. It pays to live holy. It pays to forgive people. It does. It may not look like it right now, but it works, and you got to keep working it. You got to stay diligent and consistent in the things of God. Yes. I think about this church. Here we are. You know, August the 1st, next year will be 30 years we've been here. Wow. 30 years. Lord. We didn't get here overnight. We didn't have what we have overnight, the food ministry, the Hallelujah Night, all the things, the missions we support. We didn't start doing that. We started doing what we could, but we didn't stop doing what we could. And we kept building on that. And there was dreams and there was plans. And, you know, somebody had to work those plans. Amen. You know, I remember, you know, talking with Ted and Mindy and Bobby and Debbie and different. We talked about the food ministry, you know, that was in our heart to do. But then we had to sit down. We had to make some plans. And we visited some food banks and went and looked at them and came back with some ideas. And then we started out a lot smaller than we are right now. A lot less maybe organized than we are right now. But we had good ideas. We had worked the plan. We work the plan. And now it's been how many years? Almost 2 years. And we're running about 100 or so every week, families. And I mean, it's getting real organized. We're praying with people. We're seeing results. We plowed through some tough days, you know. And then we'll have some tough ones to come. But, you know, we just keep working the plan. It's right. It's good. Work the plan. Got to get up and go to work. You know, there is a current in the world that is flowing against you and God and against your success. I do believe that we were designed by God to succeed. I also believe we're programmed to fail. I think the world programs us that way. But God originally designed us to go over, to make a difference, that we count. We're important. Every one of us are. In our own world, we're important. We count. But there is a current, there's a flow that's against us. And you have got to get up and swim against the flow. Because if you don't swim against the flow, the current's going to take you away. So every day is important and every day counts. Are you with me? And we've got to stay with the stuff. 1 Corinthians 15. Turn there if you will. Hallelujah. You got a few things on me I want to share with you. Hope I don't just explode on you. Sometimes I have so much to say that, I'm a preacher. You know, you have to be about half ham to be a preacher anyway. So the gift of gab goes with the calling. So. Hallelujah. I love this. I love this. I think of the 30 years we've been here. I think of the trials we've gone through. I think of the times we wanted to quit or felt like we were going to quit. I think of times it looked like we weren't going to make it. And then times we were going to make it. It wasn't all bad, I mean. But there's challenges along the way. And you've got to set your face like a flint. You've got to say, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to make this happen. That could be marriage. It could be anything. But, you know, this is right. Marriage is right. It's good. Let's make it happen. Now, if you've been divorced and remarried, hey, wherever you are now is what I'm talking about. You can't go back in the past. You can't unscramble eggs. You know, we need a view toward the future. Not the past, not the present, but what's possible. Amen. You know, there's something possible in the future if you'll commit yourself. Maybe you're in debt, I don't know. But you know, God can give you a plan to get out of debt. And you know what? You're probably not going to get out overnight. Just accept that. That's fine. But if you work the plan, you will eventually get out of debt. You're not going to talk your way out of a situation you behaved your way into. You're going to have to change some behavior. Are you with me? See, often we think about, well, I'm just going to quit this. I'm just going to quit that. Well, that's a good step. If it's wrong, you need to quit it. But if you don't replace it with something, then it's not going to work for you. You don't quit bad habits unless you start creating good habits. Are you out there? And so if you have a habit of criticizing people, you can't just say, well, I'm just going to quit criticizing people. I don't believe that'll work. I know a lot of you are saying, yeah, brother, hallelujah. That's what I wanted to hear. I can keep doing it. No, that's not what I meant. I don't think you can just quit criticizing people. I think you have to start praising people. You need to take your friends and your acquaintances and treat them like pictures. Hang them in the best light. Amen? Make sure they're right where they need to be. And quit talking about all the bad stuff. And you need to replace it with good stuff. You know, you've got to change your habit. Change the way you live. And that's what God's all about. Changing us. See, God didn't want us just to go bless people. God doesn't want us just to go do good things. God wants us to be a blessing and to be good. He wants to make us good. He wants to make us a blessing. Now, we're going to have to start doing some things for that to happen. I understand that. And it may not look like we're there now. But if you keep working at it, you will be. You know, working out weights is, you know, any weightlifter will tell you, you don't get to where you're supposed to be in the first month or two. But you do kind of, you know, have a little breakthrough in about 3 months of working out pretty consistently. But then 6 months, man, you start really feeling a change. In about a year, now all of a sudden things are really starting to change. But hey, after about 2 years, then your body really starts changing and form. See, it takes a long time of consistently staying with it to get to anywhere, to get to any type of success in life. And face it, a lot of what we do is just work. It is. The destination, the goal, is a very short thing. But to get there, I mean, once we're glorying in the moment, we glory in the moment, but it takes a long time to get to that moment. And that's what we're talking about, is we got to be consistent. You know, sometimes we get a little off and we got to get back on. You just don't throw away the goal. You need to set your inner GPS. You know what I mean by that? You know, you got a GPS, and it recalibrates, you know, when you get off. There's not a plane that ever takes off that goes straight to their destination. Not perfectly straight. They go as straight as they can, but winds or whatever get some of them off, and they just kind of recalibrate, and they get back on, and they don't throw away the go. Are you with me? They keep it locked in. And so they're going this direction, but you know they may get a little off this way, but they just recalibrate. Maybe you've gotten a little off. I don't know. Well, don't keep going that way. Let's just recalibrate. Thank God He works with us. There's no perfect walk as far as me doing everything just right, but you know what? I can recalibrate. Man, it's better preaching. Y'all are amening. I just amen myself. This is good stuff. I need it. Woo! Don't hang up now. 1 Corinthians 15, found it? Amen. Of course, that 15th chapter is talking about the new body, the resurrection body, overcoming and conquering death and sin and the grave and all those things. And he goes on down to the 58th verse, which is a point I want to make here. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Woo! It does count. It does mean something. I am building a life here. I am building a marriage here. I am building a witness here. What I do is build my character, my integrity, and my influence in the world to help people and bless people. And it's slow sometimes. And sometimes it's boring. And sometimes it's mundane, as it were. But I'll tell you, I've got vision. I see where it's going. And it puts meaning in the mundane. And it puts meaning in my boring days. That maybe I don't feel all that great today and feel like doing all that today. But I know I need to keep doing it, because if I'm not weary and well-doing, hello, if I am immovable and abounding in the work of the Lord, I know my work will not be in vain. God cannot lie. I don't have to compromise God's word to go over in life and to be the man I'm supposed to be, the husband I'm supposed to be, the daddy I'm supposed to be, the pastor I'm supposed to be, whatever hat I'm wearing. If I want to be the best I can be, I need to obey God and keep His principles and stay with it year in and year out. Hello. Because this is a lifetime we're talking about. This is not a one-time deal. God doesn't want us to just do one good thing. Like I said, He wants to make us good. He doesn't want us just to go out and just bless somebody one time. He wants us to make us a blessing. God is making something out of us. Amen? And if we'll not be weary, talk about working the principles, as it were, working the Word, and just hang in there with it. Now, it doesn't mean we don't give up and stop from time to time and even get in sin. But call somebody. Get somebody to pray with you. Get back up on your feet again. Hey, you found out you're not perfect. We knew that a long time ago. That old saying, you know, get over yourself. We got over you a long time ago. That's the first person you need to get over is yourself. You know, just come on, get back up on your feet, confess your sin, let's go forward, and let's get better at this thing. We can do this. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This is what God can do through us. This is what, you know, often say this. It's not what we're doing for Him, it's what He's doing through us. Yeah. If we'll be available, if we'll stand up when the rain's coming, the wind's blowing, and it's cold. I'm setting you up for Thursday. It's supposed to be cold and wet Thursday, but we're going to build those booths and fix that. We're going to do it. That was kind of delayed, but I'll take it anyway. But, I mean, you just do it because you know Hallelujah night's coming. Hallelujah. Turn to Galatians 6, chapter 9, verse. Our labor is not in vain. Amen. It does pay to serve God. It does pay to do the right thing. It does pay to love. I don't care what anybody says. Real men love Jesus. I don't care what the world says a man should be. Real men cry. They do. They weep. They weep over their children. They weep over the sin of this world and the sin in their lives. And they get back up. They sure do. Real men pray. Are you with me? They do. They pray. Real men stay faithful. Real men keep their word. Real men honor God. Real men do that. Real women do that. See, I don't care what the world says. I'm not interested in what the world says. I'm very much interested in what God says. Are you with me? Because He's the one we have to do with. He's the one we have to answer to. He's the one we're going to meet one day. And, you know, He loves us. He's for us. He's not an ogre. He doesn't hate us. He's the only one that stood behind us. He's the only one that stood with us. He's the only one that saved us. He's the only one that was always our friend. Only one. He's the only one who's never offended us. Never. He never did. No, no, no. God has always been on our side. Always, always. Whew. Galatians 6. Found it? Yeah. Of course, Galatians 6, you know, it's talking about being good and doing good and helping people and giving. And the ninth verse, notice what it says here. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't quit. Amen? Don't quit. Just don't give up. You know, I can think of times we could have quit. Goodness gracious. I can think of times when we were just about to go under in the church financially. I mean, in the natural, it didn't look good at all. I mean, I had a pastor call us, want to know if we want to sell our building. In town. I said, sell our building? Where'd you hear that? Well, I just heard y'all were having some trouble. I didn't know if y'all want to sell your building. Of course, it rose up inside me. I said, no, we're not selling our building. We're going to pay it off early. I'm thinking, yeah, I paid off early. We'd paid 9 late payments that year. We paid them, but we paid them late. And I was working in Dallas. I took a full-time job. I was off Wednesdays and Sundays. And, you know, but I knew this was right. We had to win because God said we'd win. He didn't say we wouldn't have battles. He didn't say it wouldn't be tough. He didn't say we wouldn't have to dig in. You know, but He did say we'd win. And so we just dug in. We dug in and dug in and dug in. And you know what? We finally had a breakthrough because we didn't quit. We just stayed with it and kept with it. I mean, I'm talking about all of us. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about all of us. We just didn't quit. And there were tough times, but, you know, that's just, life is tough. Life's got hard edges. It bites. It grabs. But you just keep going. Hallelujah. You can make it with God. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to paint a picture of you getting beat up all your life, okay? I'm saying there are times where it is tough. But God's tougher. That's right. And I'll tell you, the prize is better. The prize is out there, and it's better than all the effort we put into this thing. All this plowing and planting, the produce is better. Hallelujah. The victory is better than the boot camp. Hallelujah. But you've got to go through boot camp to get that battle and get that victory. So don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. You know, the Living Bible, paraphrase, not the New Living Translation. But the Living Bible says on this verse, let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. That's the thing we got to fight, isn't it? Get a little discouraged. You know, you and your wife have a little spat, you know. Or maybe you just have a knockdown drag out. I don't know. and you want to just write it off, throw a towel in, you know. Well, no, you need to work it out. You need to work it out. Your kids, you know, don't do everything you say. I know that doesn't happen to every family, and you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but sometimes teenagers don't do what you say. And I know that's foreign to you, many of you, but and I'm just talking to the very few of you that have had this experience, you know, where your teenagers actually talk back to you, you know. I know it's weird. Can't imagine that. But you have to believe that you're praying and you're living for God and you're doing the right thing in front of them. And if you hadn't always lived right, you are now. Let's start now, okay? You have to believe that it's going to have an effect on them, that they'll see in the long run it's the right thing to do. What you're telling them that it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. You know, I can hear my dad's voice even. You know, my dad wasn't perfect. I mean, he had his battles and, you know, growing up. But there were some times he said things that trying to help me, you know, and I just wouldn't listen because I was smarter than my dad when I was a teenager. But then I dumbed down a little when I got a little older. And my dad got a little smarter. And I can still hear things he says. And I think about it, and I think, yeah, that's right. I repeat those things, you know, sometimes. That's right. Yeah, I should have done that. I should have done that. Dad's right. Dad was right. And I'm telling my kids that, you know. And they're going, whatever. Not now. They're grown now, and they think I'm the greatest.
That's right.
That's right. And I can do no wrong now. But as they're growing, I get tickled. You know, we think about in this world, I read this the other day, in the world of whateverisms. You know, think of all the oxymorons out there, you know, like jumbo shrimp. And, a lot of words we use. And then the ultimate oxymoron, when you think about it, you know what it is? This blows me away. This is the age we're living in. Here's one for you. Reality TV. Are you kidding me? That's reality? Those reality TV shows, they call them, you know, it's the most unreal. You know, oh my goodness. Okay, well, let me get off that soapbox. If we would do the right thing, and let me tell you, we're living in a day and age where doing the right thing is not popular. Popular comes from populace. More people will do the wrong thing than the right thing. More people will encourage you to do the wrong thing than the right thing. Are you out there? But if you'll do the right thing, God will uphold you, and He will undergird you, and He will strengthen you, and you will win the prize. Hallelujah. The finish line, you'll cross it. Hallelujah. You are in it to win it. That's what we're in this thing to do. I am not in this to lose it. I'm in this to win it. I have a good friend I used to go hunting with all the time. And when he was a kid, his daddy used to take him hunting. Hunting is East Texas. Take him hunting. When I start talking hunting, my voice just changes. You know, go out there with them hog dogs, catch them hogs. And anyway. When he was a kid, his daddy used to take him out hunting, deer hunting, and he'd get all excited, and he said, Daddy, he said, every time I'd ask him this, he said, I'd ask Daddy, I said, Daddy, you think we're going to kill a deer? And his daddy would always say, well, son, if I didn't think we're going to kill a deer, I wouldn't be out here. Whether did or not, they had that intention. Are you with me? Do you think we're going to make it? Hey, if I didn't think we're going to make it, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Hello? Or why are you doing what you're doing? If I didn't think it worked to forgive, I wouldn't be forgiving people. But I believe it works. If I didn't think it made a difference whether I live holy or not, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't live holy. But I believe it does make a difference. If I didn't think it made a difference whether I kept my word or not, I wouldn't keep my word. But you know what? I believe it makes a difference to keep my word, even to my hurt sometimes, even when I've messed up and given my word. Hello? I'm going to keep my word because it pays to keep your word. Character and integrity, those are things that we've got to develop in life. And you know what? It takes a while to do that. You know, Philip Brooks said this. He was a cleric and a poet. Died around 1893, actually. He said, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your task. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you yourself shall be a miracle. And every day you shall wonder at yourself and at the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God. I love that. I don't know what you're facing, but you need to pray God give you strength to overcome it. Give me strength to handle this. Give me wisdom to do this. And man up or woman up. There's only two choices. See, all this speaks of consistency. being consistent in what we do. Are you going to mess up? Join the club. We all are. Are you going to sin? It happens. We got no stones to throw. I've sinned. You've sinned. We've all sinned. But see, it's not necessarily what all you've done wrong or right, as it were. Right is, it is what you've done right. It's not all so much where you've been or what's happened in your life. It's where you're going. Where are you heading? See? And I want to head, you know, I want it said of me that I showed people the way, that I actually did my best to show the way. I wasn't perfect, but I tried my best to tell people they could make it, that God loved them, that He was for them, that they could come out of the mess they're in, that they had hope, and they had a healer, and they had a Savior, and they had someone who'd give them strength and a peace giver, the God of a thousand chances. I want that said about me, that I actually gave them a way out. Instead of just beat them down, I told them, look, okay, you sinned, it's wrong, let's repent, but get up on your feet again. We can make it, we can make this happen. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. We can all do it. Because God said we can. Yeah. And God loves us, and He's for us, not against us. And He's on our side, and if God be for us, who cares who's against us? Yeah. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 9. Turn there. Hallelujah. I believe this. I believe it when I don't feel it. I believe it when every fiber of my being's crying out, oh, give it up. You know, I still believe it. I still believe it. I still believe it. So I keep going through the motions. And sometimes I feel like a zombie going through the motions, you know. I've had times I've got up and preached and felt like I was just flapping my jaws. I mean, I know enough word where I can quote word and quote scriptures and give you some cute sayings and jump every once in a while, put a little sugar on it, try to get you excited, you know. But inside, I'm thinking, oh, man, I didn't feel like I did anything. I want to crawl under a rock when I got through. But I knew that I need to stand up here. Amen. And I need to tell you the truth. Amen. And whether it's coming out, you know, whether I'm feeling it or not feeling it, you know, that's big this day. We often say, well, I'm not feeling it. Yeah. I feel it. Well, who cares what you feel? Yeah. Right. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. Just do it. It's the right thing to do. There'll be days you feel it. Days you won't feel it so much. Days you'll be real excited about it. Days you won't be real. You can't maintain excitement. I can't maintain emotion. I can't do that. I can't maintain my feeling, but I can maintain what I do and what I say. I can stick to my guns, as it were. It's a good Texas saying. I can do what's right. I can love you when I don't feel like loving you. I can forgive you when I don't feel like forgiving. In fact, truth be known, most of the time I do forgive you, I don't feel like it. Oh, come on, you know it's the truth. You do it because it's the right thing to do. Then there's times you do feel like it, but still doesn't matter. God doesn't ask you to commit to a feeling. He asks you to commit to an action, to words and actions. Now, thank God they change you. I believe words and actions will change your feeling. You'll get to where you want to do it more and more and more. Was that a spider that came down? Along came a spider and sat down beside her. Okay, moving right along. 1 Corinthians 9th chapter. Boy, if you're just listening to this and you're not watching the DVD, you're probably wondering, what is going on? 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? So run in such a way that you may obtain it. Ooh, I like that. I like that. Now, the good news is, of course, in this race, we all win. We all get a prize. We're all Christians. We're not running against each other. See, we're running against ourselves. That's what we're running to be the best we can be, do the best we can do with the power that God gives us and the word that He's given us and the Spirit and so on. But we don't need to be run. We need to run to win. We don't need to run just to be running. There should be a purpose, should be a goal. You know, there was a columnist that said this. He's passed away. He wrote it, I think, in the San Francisco Observer. He said, every morning in South Africa, the gazelle gets up and knows that it must run faster than the fastest lion or he will die. And every morning the lion gets up and knows that he must run faster than the slowest gazelle or he will starve and die. So my friend, this morning when you get up, whether you're a lion or whether you're a gazelle, hit the ground running. I love that. That's running with purpose. That was better than y'all amened it, but anyway, that's okay. We need to run with purpose. There's a purpose for our running. There's a purpose for our serving God. There's a purpose to come to church. We got a reason to praise Him and shout. We got a reason to serve God and live right. We got a reason to make those moral choices that the world makes fun of us for doing. We got a reason for raising our children a certain way and treating our wives and our husbands a certain way. We have a reason for that. We're running with a purpose. There's a battle going on for your soul. There's an adversary. The devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. That's what the Bible says. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can win.
That's right.
You don't have to be a casualty. You don't have to be a statistic. You don't have to go under. You can go over, hallelujah. Yeah. Run in a way that you may obtain. The Phillips translation says, well, you ought to run with your minds fixed on winning the prize. The Knox translation says, run then for the victory. That's why I'm not running to go under. I'm not serving God so I can lose everything. I'm serving God so I can gain, so I can profit, so I can go over, because God knows what I need to do. And that's why I'm listening to Him and doing what He says when I don't feel like it, and I don't even want to do it sometimes. But I'm running to win. Don't get up in the morning and run to lose. Born to lose, and now I'm losing you. I always get tickled, all those old country western songs. You know that old joke, if you play those records backwards, those country western songs backwards, you get your wife back, you get sober, get your dog back because your dog got run over. Get all that back, you know. Well, you don't have to turn the table around. Just come to church. You get it all back. I believe you serve God and you can get it back. Amen. 25th verse. Notice what it says. I'm bringing this to a close. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. The New International Version says, goes into strict training. I like that. See, we got to be consistent and diligent about this thing. The Bible speaks of diligence all through. And it's not a one-time be nice deal. It's determined to be nice, determined to be a forgiving person, determined to be a compassionate person, determined with purpose. Live your life with purpose that you're going to build people. And examine yourself at the end of the day. Did you discourage some people today? Did you destroy some people's dreams? Did you offend? Did you were you being a little arrogant today? I mean, I have to watch arrogance and pride. And you know, did I snub anybody? Even unintentionally, did I do that? Well, God, forgive me and help me to do better tomorrow. I want to encourage some people. I want people to help them achieve their dreams. I want to help them make it and not go under. It's not all about me. It's about all of us. God wants everybody to win. Amen? But I need to run for the victory, and I need to be in strict training. Strict training. You know, being a... At the end of your life, for them not to have to lie about you at the funeral. At the end of your life, if you want that preacher to get up and say some good things about you, it takes some real discipline in your life. Make some hard choices in your life. About parenting, about your marriage, about your children, about the things you allow and don't allow, and so on and so forth. But it's worth it. It's worth it. And I'll tell you, it's really worth it when you stand before God and Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, you're not earning your way to heaven, but I believe you do get rewards in heaven. We're going to heaven because of what Jesus did, but we get rewards according to what we did. So we want to go into strict training. Now, they that do it obtain a perishable crown, 25th verse, but we for an imperishable crown. The Beck translation says, anyone who enters a contest goes into strict training. I love that. Same thing NIV says. 26th verse, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Boy, I like that. I got purpose. I'm running with a purpose. You need to run with a purpose. You need to live with a purpose. You need to talk with a purpose. Do you even think about what those words are doing that you're saying to each other? You know, the greatest thing I counsel, more than anything that I share with people in marriage situations, is I tell the husband and the wife, and say good things about each other. Get up every day this week and praise each other. Amen. Say good things. Don't you ever say, I wish you were more like somebody else. Don't you go there. Don't you do that. Don't you just harp on all that's wrong. Harp on all that's you don't like. Are you out there? Praise them. Praise each other. See, we need to live our lives trying to make each other the best we can be. We need to forgive. We need to go forward. But we need to say good things. And that takes strict training. Amen. That's living with a purpose. I have a purpose to what I'm saying. I want to help and heal. You know, when you beat your hand, you hit your finger with a hammer. I was a carpenter for years. I've hit the wrong nail before. The fingernail instead of the nail. The last thing you want to do is take that hammer and just keep beating it. Yeah. Are you with me? But that's kind of what we do sometimes, you know. Somebody falls or get in sin and we just keep beating them. Yeah. You know, to forgive someone is to quit bringing it back up, okay? Listen, the quicker y'all amen, the better y'all get involved here. The quicker I'll close this thing out. I'm waiting for something, some response or something. Woohoo! Now we're getting it. Now we're getting it. Okay. Notice what it says here. He says, I don't run with uncertainty. No. I fight not as one who beats the air. I love this. The Taylor translation says, so I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. And he says in the 27th verse, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection. Boy, that's something we got to work on, amen? Lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Hallelujah. I am a message. I want to make sure my message is good. I want to keep myself, you know. We're like ships, you know, in formation. We have an obligation to keep our ship in ship shape. Because if I don't take care of myself, then I'm going to run into the ship beside me. And there's three things you got to keep in mind in life. If you're like a ship, you got to keep in mind your own personal wholeness, your personal examination. Because if you're not in shape, you're not going to operate good. Then you need to stay in the right relationship to those around you. That you don't run into them. That you help them and not hinder them. If you don't keep yourself in shape, you're going to rub against people. You're going to rub the wrong way. So that's not just you. It's what you do affects others. Then you may need to make sure you're all going the right way. That your ship's not going the wrong way. It's going toward God. Going toward where He wants you to go. So you have an obligation to yourself. You have an obligation to your neighbor. And you have ultimately, the first one, your obligation to God. And I believe we can run this race. And I believe we can win this race. If we be consistent, we will reap. If we faint not.